Well, welcome everybody. It's lovely to be with you this morning. It's lovely to have Claire, who's written the service this morning and is going to be leading it with me.
Yes, good morning everyone. Welcome to the third Sunday of Advent, fastly approaching. So if you have your words with you, if you'd like to join in bold, that'd be great. Thank you. O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Reveal among us the light of your presence,
that we may behold your power and glory.
Blessed are you, sovereign God of all. To you be praise and glory forever. In your tender compassion, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us to dispel the lingering shadows of night. As we look for your coming among this day, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
Come, let us return to the Lord and say,
Lord our God, in our sin we have avoided your call. Our love for you is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Have mercy on us, deliver us from judgment, bind up our wounds, and revive us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And we turn to our canticle and we say the opening words together. Look towards the east, O Jerusalem, and see the glory that is coming from God. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Now to the first reading from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 to 6. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. With joy, you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day, you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name. Tell the nations what he has done. Let them know how mighty he is. Sing to the Lord, for he has done wonderful things. Make known his praise around the world. Let all the people of Jerusalem shout his praise with joy, for great is the Holy One of Israel who lives among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our second canticle, a song of the wilderness, is words taken from Isaiah chapter 35. And we begin by saying the refrain together. Lift up your voice with strength, O herald of good tidings. The wilderness and the dry land shall rejoice. The desert shall blossom and burst into song. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weary hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to the anxious, be strong, fear not. Your God is coming with judgment to save you. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame leap like a hart and the tongue of the dumb sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The ransomed of the Lord shall return with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. Joy and gladness shall be theirs, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Lift up your voice with strength, O herald of good tidings.
And the second reading is taken from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 18. When the crowds came to John for baptism, he said, "You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee God's coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to we are safe, for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire." The crowds asked, "What should we do?" John replied, "If you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry." Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized and asked, "Teacher, what should we do?" He replied, "Collect no more taxes than the government requires." "What should we do?" asked some soldiers. John replied, "Don't extort money or make false accusations, and be content with your pay." Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered the question by saying, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater than I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire." John used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Today is the third Sunday in Advent, traditionally known as Gaudete Sunday or Rejoice Sunday. Today, in some churches, they ditch the penitential colour purple and replace it with the happier, lighter colour of rose. And the readings we could have chosen for today from Zephaniah or Philippians, or the one that we have chosen from Isaiah, remind us to rejoice. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Sing aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. How good it is to be able to sing, and how much I missed it when we were unable to do so. To sing is to have one's spirits lifted, and it feels like many of us could do with having our spirits lifted at the moment. The thought of more restrictions, further curtailing of our freedoms, is not an attractive prospect. And I have detected in a couple of the Christmas letters I have received a certain weariness and a lack of enthusiasm for this Christmas season. I don't expect commanding people to rejoice would go down very well. So let's turn to our gospel reading from Luke. Cue John the Baptist. Notice that he isn't telling people to rejoice. Quite the opposite. You brood of vipers, he shouts across the wilderness. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Ah, well, maybe being commanded to rejoice is not so bad after all. I don't know how I would react if someone called me a snake or a viper, but I am pretty sure I would react. And maybe that's what John the Baptist wanted, a reaction. In other words, wake up and do something. John was operating from the wilderness. The wilderness was extremely hot and dry, covered with in debris and brushwood. Sometimes fires would ignite, and when they did so, vipers would come out from their hiding places in the rocks and slither away in fear to escape from the flames. The people who were coming to the wilderness to be baptized were, according to John, just like those vipers. So why were the people coming? What was the attraction? Why did a call to repentance and baptism resonate with so many people? Or was John just an interesting spectacle? I think the answer lies in the question the crowd asks at the end of John's sermon. In his speech, John challenged the crowd, told them that they were not safe from judgment simply because they were Jewish, pointed out that racial privilege meant nothing, and reminded them that life, not lineage, was God's standard of judgment. To hear that must have been a shock. No wonder the crowd's response was to cry out, "What should we do?" What a question. It reveals so much. You don't ask questions like that when things are going well. You don't ask questions like that when you feel in control. We ask questions like that when we are at the end of our tether, when life is spiraling out of control, when we desperately know we need help. What should we do? What does it mean to produce fruit in keeping with repentance? This is a challenge. The Bible tells us that talking about our faith is not enough. We have to do it. We have to live it. Advent is a time when we can look again at the way we live our lives and move towards genuine repentance. I think it's interesting that the crowd are not offended by John's words. I suspect I might have been. The crowd are challenged by them, and they feel moved to do something about them. So, what is John's reply? I wonder what the crowd expected him to say. After all, John looked, sounded, and behaved like a radical. What would he tell them to do? To raise up an army? To start a revolution? To go and live in the wilderness and adopt a lifestyle like John's? Basically, John tells the crowd to go back home. He tells them to go back to the places where they live and work, to go back to their neighbours, their families and their friends, to go back and get on with their lives, but to do it differently, living out the fruit of repentance. In other words, the person with two tunics should share them with someone without. The person with plenty of food should share it with those who have nothing. Tax collectors should carry on collecting taxes, but do it in a way that is just and fair. And soldiers must treat people fairly and be content with the pay they are given. I don't imagine that was the answer the crowd were expecting. Go home and carry on, but do it in the right way, the godly way, the kingdom way. I think it's very easy to think that to show the fruit of repentance, we have to do something extreme and complicated. To go somewhere, to walk barefoot across sharp pebbles, or to dress in a certain way, or deny ourselves certain things. But John is reminding people that God is present in the way we live our ordinary, everyday lives. Live your ordinary, everyday life as well and as deeply as possible. Be generous now. Share stuff now. Be merciful now. Do justice now. As I read in a commentary this week, inhabit your life, no matter how plain, how obscure, how unglamorous, how routine. Why? Because living like this is holy ground. I need to stop procrastinating and making excuses. The day of repentance is now. Holiness is not something way out there. It's here. There is nothing in our lives that is too ordinary or too mundane for God. All God requires is that we offer him the life he has given to each one of us. Salvation is here among us. The kingdom of God is here and now. I wonder what happened when the crowds went home. I wonder what happened when those who had plenty looked in their cupboards. Did they start giving stuff away? What happened when the tax collectors went out to collect money? Did they have to stop themselves demanding more than they needed? What happened to the soldiers when they went on duty? Did they have to remind themselves that God was here with them and that they were living out his kingdom? The kingdom of God is here. God cares how we live. He cares how we live here and now. And this is good news. Each one of our lives is precious to God. John finishes his sermon by a vivid description of the coming Messiah. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. It's a harsh, terrifying picture and hardly sounds like good news. How can this sort of judgment be good news? I was reminded of the definition of the word judgment. In my dictionary, the word judgment is described as follows: the critical faculty, good sense, discernment, and perception. Maybe this is the sort of judgment John means. The Messiah who is coming sees and knows us to the very core of our being. His winnowing fork may be an instrument of destruction, but may also be used to bring about the most bountiful harvest in our lives, if we let him. I have said many times before that John the Baptist seems to me to be quite a scary chap. Definitely not the sort of person I would want to be sitting next to on a bus or a train. But I was reminded when reading through the Christmas story this week that John was full of joy. As an unborn child, he leapt in his mother's womb when he was first in the presence of Mary and Jesus. I'm guessing John knew all about joy, real joy, spiritual joy. He knew that joy is not the same as happiness. It's not dependent upon things. He knew that joy is not easy or cheap. He knew that real joy is the result of repentance and forgiveness. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus is here. He is the Holy One. The Holy One sees us and knows us and loves us and forgives us so that we may have freedom and joy. Amen.
Let's turn to prayer. Let us pray to Jesus our Lord, who forever lives making intercession for us. Gracious Lord Jesus, please come to your church. Empower by your Spirit all Christian people and the work of your church in every land. Especially we pray for those who are displaced and persecuted around the world. Help us to live in the light and give us a longing for your kingdom to come. Grant us grace and boldness to proclaim and live out the gospel, serving the people around us with joy. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Saviour of the world, come to your world as King of the nations. Be present in all nations and those suffering violence, pain, and bring hope even in the darkest night. Inspire us to continue your work of reconciliation and peace today. Maranatha. Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Our healer, come to the suffering as saviour and comforter. Stretch out your hand to bring healing, wholeness, and peace to all who suffer in mind or spirit. And especially, we pray for the sick. Jacques, Jen, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Morris, Gordon, Sally, Richard, Marion, Camilla, Brenda, Robert, Tim, and Addy. Fill us with compassion that we may be channels of healing love. Maranatha.
Amen.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Shepherd and guardian of our souls, guide, enable, and strengthen all leadership who serve this nation, local communities, and those we depend upon for our daily needs. Grant that we may seek justice and peace wherever we are. Maranatha.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. Conqueror of death, remember for good those whom we love but see no longer. Especially remember the families of those who have been bereaved. Let's name them in our hearts. Comfort those who mourn and help us all to live this day in the sure and certain hope of your eternal victory. Maranatha. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
come, Lord Jesus, with power and great glory. Do not delay. Give new courage to your people who trust in your love. By your coming, raise us to share in the joy of your kingdom on earth as in heaven, where you live and reign with the Father and the Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent to your messenger to prepare your way before you, grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive in the reign with the Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. May God the Father, who loved the world so much he sent his only Son to come among us in great humility, open your eyes to look for his coming again. Amen. May God the Son give us grace to live in the light of his coming as Redeemer and Judge. Amen. May God the Spirit free us from sin, make us holy, and bring us to eternal life. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us and those we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Claire. Thank you very much for joining us, everyone. It's been lovely to start the day off today worshipping with you. Please remember that the coffee morning is on Zoom at 10:30 on Wednesday morning. And if you would like to join us for Compline, either on the phone or on Zoom, hopefully the details to join that service are with you at the bottom of the service sheet. If you would like to come for lunch on Friday, bread and soup, and have a catch up, a change from writing Christmas cards or doing the things that you do, then do please join me at 12:30 at the rectory. Anyway, have a very blessed day and hope to see you soon. God bless. Bye-bye.